This morning we have experienced quite a bit, haven't we? We've had a wonderful time of fellowship, seeing one another. We've experienced the announcement of a new birth, of a new child that's coming, new life. I've met some folks here at the church that I've not seen before, so there's some new people in the church. The church is growing. The announcement that we always dread, and that is the departure of someone. But the wonderful news when that person departs, if they have that blessed hope of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Death is painful, but that blessed hope removes some of that pain, doesn't it? I have so looked forward to this week of seeing my dear friend and spending some time with him, and that has been such a great blessing to me. You know, friends will do whatever for you, right? Friends will tell you when you're wrong. And I appreciate that about my friend, Pastor Springer, because he's never been afraid to say, "Brother Steve, I'm not sure I would do it that way." And it made me stop and think, maybe I better check this out, make sure that I'm on the right track here. And you need friends like that. A pastor is like that. A pastor will say, sometimes it doesn't always feel good. But a pastor is to show grace. And that word grace means mercy. And so I have no doubt that your pastor has shown you great mercy. Let me ask you this. Did you deserve it? No. But he showed you mercy, didn't he? A pastor is to apply salt. Why? Well, a salt is a preservative, isn't it? And if you have a piece of meat out there and there's no salt on it, it's not going to preserve. What happens to it? It'll start to rot and smell and stink. And so when you have pastors that will not show mercy and will not apply salt, now you don't take that piece of meat and slam it down on the ground and apply salt on it and stomp the salt in it. You don't do that. But if you do, I don't want to eat that piece of meat. But you're kind to it, and you're affectionate to it. You do the application the right way. That's what a pastor does. That's what your pastor has done. Is he perfect? I know he's not perfect because he doesn't play golf. If he was perfect, he would play golf. I wanted him to go play golf with us yesterday. Not because he plays golf. There was only one reason why I wanted him to play golf. Because he has a card that if he's in our cart, they put a flag on our cart, and I can take that flag right up onto the green. And you don't have to walk much. So that's why I wanted him to go, so we wouldn't have to walk so much. But he said, he disappointed his friend and said, "No, I'm not going." Brother Springer, I love you. And you are my friend. And I look forward one day when we will all... I hate goodbyes. I've always hated goodbyes here. And I don't know. I want you guys to start to think about something tonight. Something I miss. You know, we used to, after the church, we would go to a pizza place. Remember that? How come we don't do that anymore? Huh? Who's, what did you say? Inflation? I'm planning on having pizza tonight after church. Anybody want to join me? Come on. Okay? All right. Take your Bibles and turn. Yeah, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read a few verses of scriptures, not out of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 yet, but we will get there. And this morning we will be dealing with missions, mission giving, faith promise. And we've been talking this week about this. We've given instruction. We've tried to take the Word of God and instruct you concerning what the Bible says, what God says about faith, about His promise, about giving, about taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So this instruction deals with understanding. So I'm hoping that at the end of this conference, you have more understanding about missions than you did before because of the instruction. Then we dealt with inspiration and the missionaries and the stories that we've told to try to illustrate God's love, the need around the world, and that illustration is supposed to tug at your heart. That's the object of those illustrations, is to, the target is your heart, your mind, and then your heart. Because from our heart flows our love and our kindness and our desire to be a blessing and to help others. And so if we've been successful with that, then we've been able to help you to understand, and we've been able to touch your heart. And then at the end of the service, we want this third thing to happen, and that will be involvement. And the involvement deals with action. We're going to take action. It's one thing to say, hey, brother, I love you, but never show any action to it. It's one thing to say, hey, I'd love to talk to you, and while I'm talking to you, I'm looking all around, and you're trying to talk to me, and you can notice immediately that I could care less what you're saying. You see? And so we want the involvement. We've given you the ingredients. We've put all of these ingredients into this conference so that what's going to turn out will be something that will be well-pleasing to God. Amen? I told you, Connie made a pumpkin pie one day. You remember the story? When we first got married, got home from truck and coach, worked till 12 o'clock at night, got up in the morning, went to classes 4 or 5 hours every day, and she'd fix me something to eat. We hadn't been married very, very long. My favorite was pumpkin pie. I took a piece of that pumpkin pie, and then I spit it on back out on the plate. She said, "What? Why'd you do that? Taste it." And she did the same thing. She forgot to put sugar in it. It wasn't sweet. It tasted terrible. So that's not what we want from this faith promise. We want it. All the ingredients in this faith promise, faith and love and inspiration and involvement and all of that, so that the finished product will be sweet, a sweet smell to God and well-pleasing to God, because He looks at His children down here and seeing that they are willing to sacrifice, to give, of something that He sees very important. And so we've done that. The illustration is, my level of hope is based upon the ability of the source. Now my hope of participating in faith promise is not based on my ability. It's not based on my means, but it's based on the source. And who is the source? God. He is the source. So He wants to bless you. He wants to care for you. And I believe that he will supply. He's given us a promise. He said that that promise is to all the nations on the face of the earth. Now, how many nations are there? Well, according to the United States, there may be, I don't know, don't quote me on this, but somewhere around 190 or 194 that the United States recognizes. The United Nations may recognize a different number. Someone says there's around 240 nations in the world. But you see, China and other places wouldn't recognize Taiwan as a nation because they would love to destroy them and then take over. So those are all political things. But what I'm saying, when God says all nations, he knows all of them. Not just the ones that belong to the United Nations, not just the ones that the United States recognizes, but all the peoples of the earth. He said in Genesis 12, 1, he gave that promise to Abram, and his name was changed to Abraham. And he said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, how in the world are all the families of the world blessed? They're blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his burial and his resurrection, and that blessed hope of eternal life one day on the other side for all eternity. Acts 3:25. And ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds. He said all nations. Now he says all kindreds of the earth be blessed. All of the tribes. You and I don't, it's hard for us to understand tribes. Brother Swanson would understand it perfectly living in Africa. They know what tribes are. And there's tribal wars and culture, and this tribe doesn't like that tribe. And so it's difficult for us to understand, but they would. All of the tribes, all of the people groups, thousands upon thousands, maybe 12, 13, 14,000 different people groups that are on the face of the earth. Galatians 3:8 says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now that's an amazing verse. Because for those Jews in the Old Testament, that's kind of hard to understand. Because the promise was given to Israel. Except they left out to all the nations and all the peoples of the earth. So they didn't like that part. That was to add to your story with Jonah. Jonah might have been a little jealous. God, I don't want you to bless these Gentiles. I don't want you to bless Nineveh. I know that you're a merciful God, and if they repent, you're going to bless them. But they're our enemy. Listen, church, we have no enemy except Satan and the flesh. And so we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he's given us all the power to do that, to accomplish the task. It is an impossible task. The world's not excited when we can build great big towers and great big ministries that you can physically see with your eyes. But I'm going to tell you, they're amazed when a drunkard that lives his drunkard life one day trusts Christ as his Savior and his life is changed. That was my father-in-law. A drunkard all of his life. Get paid on Friday and go to the bar and buy everybody drinks and come home to my mother-in-law and Connie and her siblings, and they'd be starving to death and would have so little to have. And that time, so proud, too proud to take welfare. They remember going to bed at night many times hungry because their father was a drunk and spent all of the money. And one day, the preacher on a Thursday night on visitation said, Emma, pray for Jim. I'm going to go another time. I'm going to go tonight and pray that he'll get saved. Oh, he had made professions of faith before, but that's all they were. And the preacher went to that house that night. And he made another profession of faith, but it was real. And he trusted Christ as a Savior and never took a drop of liquor after that. And drove a church bus for the church and brought in kids to Sunday school. Only God could do that. You see, that's the power. And so the world is impressed with that. They don't always like that. Who doesn't like that? We do. But the world doesn't. Where's Jim at? He's always buying me a beer. Why? What happened to him? Oh, he got religion. Ah, that crazy guy. They only was thinking of themselves because of what he spent on them. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive all power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Uttermost. That's the 1040 window. You say, well, what in the world is a 1040 window? That's a place where missionaries, where Americans can't get into, but other nationalities might. That'd be a place like Afghanistan. Brother Swanson, that'd be kind of like the place where the Civil War is going on in Cameroon, where it's super, super dangerous to be there. You see? When I was in Iraq, when I was in Kurdistan, Iraq, I met a pastor from Baghdad. Oh, I wish you could have met him. And that was when the war was going on in Iraq. And the Kurds had separated themselves from the Iraqi soldiers. No Iraqi soldiers could go into Kurdistan and vice versa. And so he had come up to attend a conference that we had. He had a radio program and a tower hooked to his church. And he announced free Bibles. And right behind his church was a fuel depot. Big, gigantic tanks. Right, he said, on the second floor, you look over and you see these tanks full of fuel. And this guy is preaching every day on the radio, telling people where the church is at, and come and you'll get a free Bible. Do you understand what I just said? Hey, enemy, here I am. Blow us up. Matter of fact, there's fuel there. If you put a hand grenade back there, it'll just blow us all up. I'm going to tell you, the guy was fearless. Never met anybody like him. But God has people like that, that will go and preach the gospel. How? Why? Because it's the power of God upon them. Oh, the potential is to the ends of the earth. He said to those in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. That's what I think about you when I pray for you. Your labor of love. Your desire to see others come to know Christ. Your love to this missionary. And to other missionaries. Sometimes I get a little jealous. I say, well, how come they love that missionary more than they love me? You see, you love them all. Because you want the gospel to go out. And he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That ye were in samples, you were examples to others, and that's what this church is, an example to others. And from you, from this church, from Open Door Baptist Church, sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia, not only in Council Bluffs and Achaia, not only in Council Bluffs, not only in Omaha, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. Your missionaries know what you're doing. And all around this world, they're talking about your faith. They're talking about, and they may even be praying about this Faith Promise Conference. Because they're recipients and their people that they minister to are recipients of your faith. As you apply your faith, they are recipients of that, and people will get saved because of that. So our giving, let's look at that over in 2 Corinthians. In verse 1, in verses 1 through 7, we've read those verses many times. It's talking about the Macedonians. How that when they heard Paul talk about this special offering that was going to be taken up, the need, these Macedonians who had just got saved. Now there were several churches in Macedonia. And these churches that were full of joy, they were new Christians, new converts. They had passed from death unto life, and they had had the blessed hope and the joy of salvation, heard about this offering. They said, hey, we want to give. Paul was just telling them about the church at Corinth, how they had made a promise but hadn't fulfilled it yet. And he was telling the church, the churches in Macedonia, and those churches in Macedonia said, hey, can we participate in this offering also? That's where I hope some of you are today. I hope there's somebody here that came during this conference, and maybe you didn't give to Faith Promise, or maybe it was just a small amount, and you say now, you know what? I want to participate. I want to give. I want to be part of this, because I guarantee you, you cannot outgive God, and there will be a reward in heaven. All of those people that were ministering and leading to Christ, you had a part in that, and there is a soul winner's reward that will be given to them and given to you because you made it possible for them to go. And so you be like the Macedonians and say, hey, I want to be part of that. I don't want to miss out on this. I want to be a real blessing. My dear brother, builder, you know, when I ever notice that somebody's kind of getting tired, I call their name out. It wakes them up right away. He wasn't falling asleep. But I'm going to tell you, my son's a builder. He's a builder. And if he had some inside information that, because my son's going to build a house, he's building a house. If he had some inside information where my son could get 2x4s for $2 a piece instead of, what is it now? $8 to $10, and there was an unlimited. I put that in there, unlimited, because if there's a limited amount, he might not give me that information. But an unlimited amount of 2x4s, I think he'd want to share it because he likes me. You do like me, don't you? Yeah, he likes me. So he likes me, and so he wants my son to have that information because it could be a blessing to him. You see. Listen, folks, you and I have some inside information. It comes from the inside of the Bible. And we have the answer of eternal life. And we want everybody to know about that. And I want you to know that God wants to bless you if you will participate, just like he did with these Macedonians and how that they gave. In verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, about as ye abound in everything, faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving. Oh, that preacher, all they talk about is money, 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 money. Why don't I dare you? Double dare you. Could I say triple dare you? To ask God that. Oh, you have no fear to ask me. You have no fear to ask the preacher. Oh, preacher, all you talk about it. Why don't you do a study in the Bible and find out how many times God talks about money? And then you tell him, God, I don't like it that you talk about money all the time. I triple dog dare you to say that. I don't think you would. But you know, why do you think it's so easy to confront the man of God as he's preaching from the Word of God, trying to encourage you that God will bless you? I'm not talking about I know it's hard today because you have so much garbage that's on TV. You know, plant this seed of give me $1,000 and God's going to give you $10,000 back. You know, that is a bunch of garbage. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for them. And then you look at their lifestyle and how they live, and they're not living sacrificially, and they're not going to the ends of the earth. They sit behind their homes and their desks and their jets, and they send everybody else out. And that's not how Paul did that. And so it's practical giving. And then after practical giving, we find that it's individual giving. Corporately, together, the funds come together, the faith, the tithes, the offerings, the faith promise comes together corporately. It's placed into the bank, and then the checks are, it's bills are paid, and missionaries are paid, the checks are gone out. And so we do that, but it's individuals giving in the body of Christ, in the church. And we give that. Well, I don't like that missionary that they had here. I don't like him. And I don't think we ought to support him. And Pastor Springer led it to the church, and they voted to support him. But I want everybody to know, no, you don't. You'll just tell people that listen to you. I want everybody to know I wasn't in agreement with that. Okay. Well, the pastor saw something, and the church saw something in that man or that family. Do all of us deserve support? I think Brother Swanson and I think Brother Nick, I think they deserve it. Brother Steve, do you think you deserve it? Probably not. You know, none of us deserve anything, but it's by the grace of God. And so we just offer our lives and say, God, use us. And so he says in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through the poverty might be rich. And therein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. You made the promise a year ago, now fulfill it. Now we don't want you to make a promise this morning and wait for a year like the church at Corinth did. You make that promise and you start giving right away. And God will bless you for that like he did those Macedonians. Now therefore, he says in verse 11, he had to remind them, perform the doing of it, that as there was a ready to will a year ago, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Now come on, church. Respond to this. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and that he hath not. Well, they have not. They didn't have it because they didn't give it. Now give it so that we can use that in the work. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burden. I don't want you to be eased. And here are other churches that are sending out these missionaries and they're burdened carrying the load when you don't want to carry your load. Now, maybe speaking not as a church, but individually now, that the individuals need to participate to carry your load in the church. But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. Look over to chapter 9 and verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Brother Nick and Brother Swanson and myself, we go to other places and boast of your faith. Now, why do we do that? We use you an example to encourage others. Isn't that what Paul just did about the Macedonians? Didn't he use them as a reference to say, let me show you what they're doing? And that's what we missionaries want to do with this church. Let me show you what they're doing over here. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. What does that mean now? You're going to fill out a card. You're going to make a promise. And you're not going to sign your name to it. But hey, I know Brother Kimball said don't sign your name to it. I know. But Brother Kimball's not here. And when I get to heaven, Brother Kimball's going to find out he was wrong. Can you imagine taking that sacrifice? You're around the tabernacle, and you're to make a sacrifice. And you take a large animal to be sacrificed. Oh, I don't want anybody to see my sacrifice. Don't want anybody to look at it. You try to hide it. How are you going to hide it? What is that back there? You know, you can't do that. Now, we're not going to have you sign it. That part I agree with Brother Kimball. Yeah, don't sign it. You don't need to sign it. But neither, listen to me, neither should you be ashamed of it. I don't think that sacrifice that you make to God, you should be ashamed of it. You don't need to know how much my tithe is, but I'm not afraid to let you know that I tithe. And I'm glad, and God has blessed me. The evidence is there. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that I give to Faith Promise. Well, you're a missionary. Doesn't matter. I want to support, I want to be part of other missionary work around the world. And I give to missions. And when our parking lot needed cement, Nick, good, Pastor, how much is this costing us? How much was it, Nick? Millions. Down in Florida. I'm unbelievable. Our cement men, what'd they have to do? They had to take everything out of the ground. They had to, what's called demuck. In Florida, you have to do that. And bring in all dirt. Can you imagine? Truck after truck after truck after truck after truck. And they don't do it free. Okay, church, we need offerings. Okay, how much you need? Whoo! I'm glad I'm not the only member in the church and I have to give it all. But I'll do my part. And I found it easy. And especially when I drive my car up to Plantation Baptist Church and I park in my spot, I said, this is my cement right here. Well, not quite, because I don't think I gave that much to put that cement down, because it was a lot. But it was something that I gave to. That's what our Faith Promise offering ought to be. What can save you? God. Jesus. Who can save you? Can your works? Can your money? Can your religion? Can your acts of religion? Nope. Who can keep you? Only God can keep you. No church can keep you. No church can save you. Some religions say that they can save you, they can keep you, they can do all kinds of things. But when it's all said and done, they put you in a casket or they cremate you. And if you're in the casket, they'll place you down the ground and put dirt on top of you and put a little headstone there and say some really nice things about you that may be true, may not be true. And there you are. But that's just your body. Your soul is someplace. One of two places. I used to believe one of three places. Heaven, purgatory, or hell. Now I only believe in two places. Heaven or hell. So where are you going when you die? Heaven or hell? If you were to die right now, I don't always mean how you feel, because sometimes, you know, when I'm not living right, I kind of don't feel saved. I know I am, but but I kind of don't feel it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you really don't know. If you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven. Let's bow our heads with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around, please. Let me ask this question. Might there be someone here this morning and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. Please don't call out my name. Please don't point me out. But would you just have a general prayer for me?" Slip up your hand and then put it down. No one looking around, please. "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I don't think if I die right now, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me." Slip your hand up and put it down. All right. "Preacher, pray for me. I want to make sure I make the right faith promise commitment. Would you have a general word of prayer for me and others right now?" Just slip up your hand and then put it down. God bless you. All over this auditorium. God bless you. Father, in just a moment, the pianist is going to play. And we're going to take just a few moments to have what we call an altar call, when we ask people to come to this altar. And if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, they've never been saved, we'll simply take the Word of God and show them simply how that they can know for certain that if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. Others may need to come and just kneel at this altar and surrender their lives. Maybe there's a young person, maybe there's a young couple. Maybe there's a child that feels like, God, you've called them to full-time work, to mission work. That doesn't mean that they will leave today, but they'll need preparation and all of those things. But I pray that they would come and surrender their life for that service. Holy Spirit, take control of this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.